The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, Kelly? You good?
Good, man. It's popping.
Oh, so much. We'll get to that momentarily. I hate to talk about what's popping this morning, but I guess I got to. Paul Carr will join us to talk Champions League a little later on. It's the number one champion sound. Maybe we'll get him to sing some Estelle later.
Great song.
Paul Carr with Champions League semifinals today. Leg number one as opposed to leg number two. Two games to break down. Chrissy Andrews in studio. My mishpucha, Mark Borchard from an undisclosed location in the desert. Talk Major League Baseball. We'll do a little handicapping exercise that Mark and I used to do, 10, 15 years ago when we handicapped baseball. See if there's any way that can translate into bets for us. Jay Kahn on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Oh, how about those Vegas Golden Knights? Or more specifically, what's up with the Edmonton Oilers? We'll talk to Jake. I'm going to ask Jake to power rank the remaining 8 teams in the NHL.
Ooh, I like it.
Just see what he comes up with on the fly. Of course, I did not prepare him for this. So he's going to be like, well, I don't want to do that.
He'll be fine. He's a pro. So right now you have 4 teams.
Yeah.
Between plus 360 and plus 500 at the top.
To win the Stanley Cup. That's the postseason in hockey, which is why I'm going to go into the power ranking. Power ranking with the current series tally aside. So no 3-0s, 2-1s. Just if it were 0-0, what do these teams look like?
Oh, okay, interesting. I've got an Oilers ticket. That was not a fun game last night.
No, that was brutal for an Oilers backer, which Andy McNeil was. He was apoplectic about it. And Drew Dinsick will join us to talk NBA. And, of course, see if he has any Italian Open plays today. I did not, by the way, on day number one, nor did I have any quarter plays that I liked. On the ladies' side, that were established. A few people were asking about that, but we'll see what Drew has. We must begin, though, with that game last night between the Lakers and the Warriors. Because, in case you missed it, by the way, what a heart attack basketball. And you said it yesterday, Kelly. Like, if you could only watch this series and you didn't have to watch the other three, would you take that deal? Or you weren't able to watch the other three, would you take that deal? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, in a heartbeat, yep.
Lakers win it 104-101 and cover the 2.5-point closing spread. How people bet this sides ATS preflop on a daily basis, I will never know. He says, as he's about to give his first ATS preflop pick coming up on the show.
Well, I thought you were going to more mention, like the movement is just wild, like in the hour or two before the games go off.
It is, but that gets back to just what you, Matt, and I used to talk about on Primetime Action, where we just got to see things light up like a Christmas tree like never before. Why? Because it's almost as if tens and more millions of people are betting on this stuff.
Okay, we've been saying that for, two, three, I mean, even longer. But I don't know what it is. I still get surprised by it.
Yeah, no,
I still get surprised.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Let's go back to last night's game and see if this induces any kind of bet. How are the Warriors only plus 380 to win this series now, down 3-1? I was hoping for double that. I can't take a bite at plus 380, even though I would have wanted to if it were more. Anyway, last night, the Warriors, let's just pick it up in the second half. The Warriors went up 8, less than 90 seconds in the third quarter. Then the Lakers went on a 10-0 run. They went up 2 points, 59-57. Then the Warriors went on an 11-0 run. They go up 9, 68-59. Then the Warriors were up 12, 77-65. The Lakers with a 12-4 run to cut it to 81-77, and then down 7 to start the fourth quarter. They scored 9 in a row to go up 2. And it was back and forth from that point forward. The Lakers end up outscoring the Warriors in the fourth quarter 27-17. More on that in a moment. Curry ends up 31-10-14 with 3 steals. AD 19 at halftime, finishes with but 23 for the game, only took 4 shots in the second half. He did have 15 rebounds. LeBron, 27-9-6. And this will forever be remembered, game 4 will be, as the Lonnie Walker the 4th game. Just like Landry Shamet came up big for the Suns in the fourth quarter of that game the other night. Lonnie Walker the 4th, 15 points, all of them in the fourth quarter on 6-for-9 shooting, just what the Lakers needed to get over the top. And now with a 3-1 series lead, 538, Nate Silver's operation over there, their projections system now gives the Lakers an 84% chance to advance. 84%. Historically, it's a 95% chance to advance if you have a 3-1 lead. But let's just go to the final 3 minutes, because this is really what it boiled down to. With 3:01 to play, Klay hits a three for the Warriors. They go up 99-96. Then Lonnie Walker misses a jumper on LA's next possession. At that moment, with the ball up three, Golden State's win probability was 74%, peaked earlier at 87.1% late in the third when they were up 12. Now, this begins a sequence where if you're a Warriors fan or someone who has followed and loved the Warriors for so many years, I said this after the Jordan Poole shot at the end of game one, where everyone was like, oh, I can't believe Jordan Poole shot that. I didn't really have a problem with it. I certainly didn't last night when Klay and Steph missed these. But what happened was Klay took one from the logo, basically. The Crypto.com logo. I don't want to leave out the sponsor. No offensive rebounding around. And then 14 seconds on the shot clock on the next possession, he moves to his left. Really no room in front of him. The Lakers scored after he misses that. The Lakers scored after each of those. And the Lakers now up 102-99. So from a three-point deficit, they're up three after those two Klay misses. Then Curry on the pick and roll, let's bookmark that, restores, you know, a bit. He gets the driving layup, so it cuts it to one. But the next time he has the ball with a chance to take the lead, they again abandon the pick and roll, which we'll get to. Curry, you know, does his thing with Anthony Davis out there on the perimeter for 8 seconds. Can't really shake loose. He throws up a contested fadeaway from beyond the elbow. 7 seconds left on the shot clock. He misses that. And then Draymond gets the board. He's got Dennis Schroeder on him. Doesn't for a second think about taking it to the hole. He throws it back out to Curry, who then takes another jumper about 12 feet further than the first one. That misses. Walker hits two free throws. Lakers lead by three. Golden State calls a timeout. And Draymond proceeds to just throw the ball away. But the Warriors tie up AD, goes to a jump ball. Somehow Curry gets the jump ball and then throws it out of bounds. He had a timeout, unlike in the King series when he didn't have one and almost cost them that game.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Jordan Poole only played 10 minutes. Gary Payton left the game with 9:49 left in the fourth, which was strange because he was having a great game. But this is really about that pick and roll, which I wouldn't necessarily bring up, but Stan Van Gundy did a great job screaming about it the entire game last night.
He's right.
And he's right. So I hate to bring up numbers, but that's what we do here. In the first half, the Warriors put Anthony Davis into 24 screen action plays. They scored 1.35 points per chance resulting directly from that. So basically, that would have registered, Kelly, as the most efficient pick-and-roll offense, including passes, for any player in the league this season per synergy.
Yep.
Golden State having a field day with it. They, exactly what they wanted to do, get Davis out of the paint.
Allows back cuts, guys to slash to the bucket that you didn't have before when AD's camped down there.
Right.
It was working perfect.
It's empty in the middle. It worked in game two. Remember, the Lakers' response was, oh, I know, well, instead of being on Draymond, we'll put him on Jermichael Green. And then in this game, their response was, oh, we'll put it, instead of putting AD on Gary Payton, now we'll put him on Wiggins. So point-blank layups, wide-open threes. And then after all that success in the first half, what did Steve Kerr do in the second half? He cut the Davis pick-and-roll actions by 75%. Only went to it six times, and the Warriors scored that few 17 fourth-quarter points, as we said, just 17 fourth-quarter points, lost the game, only went back to it late on that Curry layup that cut it to one late.
And it instantly translated. You saw Anthony Davis as a much bigger defensive force in the second half, and especially in that fourth quarter.
So what's the betting upshot of this? The betting upshot, so as I said, you know, my immediate instinct in this is, do you feel like the Lakers are resoundingly the better team? I don't. Do you feel like the Warriors might actually still be the better team? Maybe. Could the Warriors, if they make any of those threes at the end yesterday, or certainly have a better, you know, finish in game one. Could this be 2-2, let alone up 3-1? Maybe, but they're not. They're down 3-1. They're not. Can they still win this? Would you bet it at plus 380? I would not. It's not nearly high enough. But do I think they could win this? I actually do.
Yeah, I think they could. I wouldn't bet that either. I bet game five, though. I laid it with the Warriors as soon as that opened, and boy, did that number shoot up.
Listen, what is it now? What did you get it at? What is it now?
I bet I laid 5.5. It's 6.5, 7 right now.
The pre-flop ATS that I played is the Nuggets tonight. I played it at 5.
Oh, I'm on that too, baby. Let's go. Actually, so, I'm on that pretty dang big.
I do not believe I have given out one single pre-flop play during this postseason in terms of a spread. But this is the one. I was sort of mentioning this last night. We'll get back to the Warriors here. But this is the one where I'm like, Devin Booker's 34 of 43 in his last two games. I do not believe the Suns can beat the Nuggets on the Nuggets' home court into the elevation. And I do not believe Booker can sustain this. He is a human being after all. So I'm just going to play it that way. Yeah, and I think the Nuggets roll them tonight.
I think this series you've seen the perfect, like, role players play better at home situation, too. Expect that to shift a bit. I like the Nuggets a lot tonight. And look, the Warriors, they had their chances last night. I mean, they shoot under 30% from three for the game, right? Like, there's a lot that went right for the Warriors last night that gets disguised by a loss. As much as tough as that is to say.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't be overwhelmed by the result. And I get it, we're a results-oriented thing, but you can't, as a bettors moving forward, you can't let that color what you would wager on here moving forward. So plus 380 is not nearly sexy enough to play it for me. But if it had been like 6-1 or 7-1, I would have taken a sprinkle on it.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Kerr, all this stuff about the pick and roll we talked about, he'll know about it today if he didn't like calculate it in his head last night. And you gotta think. And I get it too, right? Because Clay and Curry hoisting has gotten them championships. Maybe simplicity is the answer. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick's thoughts next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Whole bunch on the Lakers and the Warriors. Len Glauzenski. The Warriors lost the game last night due to Klay Thompson's inability to make shots. He stunk. Klay needs to get his head out of you know where. Though he didn't say you know where. Jason Stark. Reality is if Steph and Klay combine for 6 threes, the Warriors just aren't winning. Yeah, it's probably true. Jordan Alexander, I get the AD pick and roll stuff, but you're not taking into account Curry on ball all game, killed his legs, and it showed in the fourth. It probably did. He was doing everything last night. I think the Lakers are tired at the end of every game too, though. But yes, Steph, I mean, everything ran through Steph last night, and he was on the ball all game long. Fatigue is absolutely part of it. This is from Sparty KY, says, why can't we have day baseball? I don't know, man. I'll make a call. New York Mets 16. Lonnie Walker in the fourth, 15 points. Warriors 17, as we pointed out. This cannot happen in a fourth quarter for a championship team. And he adds, quoting me, he says, maybe simplicity is the answer. Could not agree more, Gil, after watching three-pointers getting launched when you're only down one. Yeah, and let me just repeat the last comment before we get to Drew here, which is, it's understandable why Steve Kerr, of all people, might not be able to stick with something like that, because you've got the two greatest shooters arguably in the history of mankind, and it's won you four championships. It's almost won you more. It's gotten you out of every jam. So he stuck to it in the first half. I'm not condoning it, because he should have stuck with it long. Just because AD now makes a switch to Wiggins, you don't have Peyton in the game, you shouldn't stop running it, right? And I can see, though, because Kerr doesn't want to – he hates doing the up-top pick and roll. He hates that historically, because his team doesn't function on that. His team is different. But desperate times, right?
Yeah.
Just make it simple.
Nah, you got to bring up what Lonnie Walker did yesterday.
He's amazing.
That was an incredible performance in the fourth quarter. They're literally drawing up plays for him instead of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Like, that was, as a lot of people have already said, it's one thing to come off the bench And to be asked to guard someone or to spot up in the corner and just take threes if you get the opportunity, it's different to come in and take over a game of that magnitude in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, this is me every time Lonnie Walker put up a shot. I'm like, rebound. Oh, God. Every time. Drew Densick joins us. He hosts Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. How you doing, Drew?
Oh, tremendous, Gil. I can't believe you guys have completely looked past the obvious. Robert Griffin III pointed it out. Kobe Bryant's ghost inhabited Lonnie Walker IV. That was obviously what happened last night. But no, that was hopefully everybody got to stay up and watch that one because it was very cool fourth quarter, ultimately, just seeing how that played out. And it's been a good series. I've been chasing unders in this series pretty aggressively. So last night was kind of a dream come true. Cash all the alts, cash you know, that basically every way to play that. So very, very happy with last night's result. And I don't think the series is over by any stretch of the imagination, but boy, oh boy, does it feel like the Warriors need some tendency breakers because the Lakers had all the Lakers. They saw it coming. They saw everything coming down the stretch.
Tendency breakers. Well said. Let's circle back to this, but let's get to it. Cause you just said you've been chasing unders in that game. I mentioned yesterday about the Nuggets and the Suns. Especially in the two games, well, really, particularly the two games in Phoenix, you could chase overs in which way. Is that your strategy for this game tonight with the Nuggets favored by 5.5?
Yeah, I think tonight's games lack the drama of what we saw last night. And I think you're talking about home teams with margin. As good as the Suns offense was in at home, particularly in game four, I will pay to see Landry Shamet and Jock Landale and TJ Warren beat me here. Mm-hmm. 5.5 is too short. I'm pretty into this on the open. I think it was 4.5. There was some speculation that Jokic might get suspended, which in hindsight seems laughable. I don't know why anyone would have expected that, but Nuggets here by margin, I think is the right look. And you know, the series overall, I don't think is done. And I'm a Nuggets backer here series wise. And I'm a little nervous, not for game five at all, but for 6 and 7. There's a lot of whiffs in this series of what we saw between the Mavericks and the Suns last year, just in terms of singular performance of Booker being able to kind of be the key factor if you have a relatively tight game seven. You know, sometimes when you're the clear favorite, you're the best team in the regular season in your conference and you have the home game seven and the expectations are high. Like sometimes that negative energy curdles, like what we saw with the Suns last year in game seven versus the Mavericks. So, again, like I think this game almost certainly is going seven. This series is almost certainly going seven. And then, at that point, Phoenix 4-3 at +370. I'm going to take a little bit of that to cover some of my Nuggets series price exposure.
Yeah, think about that. Phoenix +370. If you get it to game seven and you do have KD and Booker in that situation, obviously on your team, the Warriors down 3-1. Yes, they do have home games 5 and 7, but only +380, just as a contrast to that. By the way, I didn't think it was laughable at all. Like until they said Jokic was only getting fined, I absolutely believe that was being batted around in the room because the NBA, they don't mess around with that kind of stuff, dude. And I said yesterday on the show, I go, what's going to happen is they're not going to because they're going to do the two wrongs make a right. Because it was Matt Ishbia, they couldn't eject the fan, him being the fan, they couldn't, you know, say, oh, you can't have season tickets for the rest of the year. So because they were locked into that, they couldn't do anything to Jokic. I think if it were not the owner, oh, I absolutely think they would have because you had to have in the regular season. But I think that's what ended up happening.
The main broadcast angle, it did look like, oh, man, something might come of this. But the alternate angle where Matt dives was like, oh, there's nothing there. Yeah. He didn't give him a forearm. Come on. Like I thought it was a little overboard.
Well, it was a flop, but contact.
Yeah, it was a flop.
What about this? So the Western Conference, like I feel like I have thoughts, you know, before, during, whatever. The Eastern Conference, and we'll get to the Heat last night, but let's talk about tonight's the Celtics and the Sixers. You had the great Harden games in games 1 and 4. You had the miserable Harden games in 2 and 3. That's your hack explanation of this series. Celtics are 7.5 point favorites in game 5. It's 213 on the total. 2-2 here on the series. The Celtics go back pretty much on the series to what their preflop number was, north of $3. What do you make of this game? Like, can you come into this with a conviction of any kind?
I think game five, again, like, you're going to get both of these game fives tonight, we're at the point in the series where the role players at home perform better, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the home team's prevailing here in games five and six in both of these series, I think is likely. Celtics, if they can get anything out of the bench, if they can, take a little bit of the offensive pressure off of Tatum, particularly late in these games, if they have a little bit better mall movement, if they're shooting better, which they do at home, then this should be, a pretty clear and comfortable win for them. I laid the points here with the Celtics. I think this is going to be a double digit one, game five, two, both of these series are tied 2-2. Neither of these games is really do or die. So the road team, they got one more shot at home to take it to a game seven. So if the home team does their job, if they have a comfortable lead in the fourth quarter, this turns into just like a, kind of run it out scenario here where, the home team wins by 20, 30 points like that. I think those are long tails to the favorites covering in both of these games. And as I look at the series broadly, I see, the most important player on the court for the 76ers went from clearly Embiid heading into this series to clearly Harden, in my opinion now, because Embiid can really only give you 2-3 quarters of 100% defense, and he's really doesn't look interested or able to give it to you offensively, particularly in the fourth quarter of these games. And if that's the case, then it really does come down to what does James Harden, have left in the tank here. And I think he can win a game six at home, surely, particularly if they get the same level of defensive performance out of Embiid in that game. But, I'm not feeling great if I'm a Sixers backer or a Sixers fan based on what I've seen Embiid in terms of just how he's sort of deteriorated physically throughout the last handful of games.
So you're laying the points here tonight. You're laying the 7.5. Wow.
Yeah. I think you can lay all spreads with the Celtics and the Nuggets. And just because there is a long tail to these games getting completely out of control. If you look at, game fives and 2-2 series, the average margin is bigger than you would expect.
I did with the Nuggets. I absolutely did with the Nuggets. I have not with the Celtics, and I don't believe I will probably wait for in game. More with Drew on the other side. I want to talk to him about the Heat. Is the best of futures play currently available in the NBA staring us in the face? We'll talk to him about that. We'll get back to the Lakers and the Warriors. And did he have any tennis plays, or does he have any left today in Italy? Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99. That's $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. We get tweets. I just want to read a couple here. This is from Bet with Bo at Jerry Bo Knows. He says, he's letting me know that Mike Greenberg, ESPN's Mike Greenberg, thinks the weather in Miami is sapping energy from his Knicks.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear that that explanation this morning. Listen, but I saw it as well.
Kelly, we all know the humidity in Miami, Boy, my goodness. Except they're not playing outside.
Yeah. Also, it's like 82 right now.
That's right. It's a beautiful time.
It's like gorgeous down there.
Miami between late October and early May. Gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. You hit it perfectly. Yep. Gorgeous. We're getting into the heat up period, just like we are out here.
But inside the arena, always nice. Should be pointed out to Mike Greenberg there. By the way, every time you see Austin Reeves now, do you think about my guy from Ferris Bueller all the time?
God. Yeah.
I got a couple tweets on that. I can't unsee it.
No, the problem is now it's translated all the way, right? So not only do I think about him, like, how many times I got up off the couch and yelled Abe Froman like yesterday after he hit a shot? Because like now I look like that guy, then I just think of that one scene. That's so classic in the restaurant.
Cam! He's so angry.
Sausage King of Chicago.
He's totally from Ferris Bueller. Drew Ditzik rejoins us from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. me just talk about the Heat real quick, since that's where we segue into with that Greenberg thought. The Heat now up 3-1 on the New York Knicks. We head back to New York for Game 5 tomorrow. Now, here's the deal. The Heat have opened up this postseason, the eighth-seeded Heat, 7-2 straight up against the Bucks and the Knicks. Think about how we thought about the Bucks. Think about how we thought about the Knicks in some cases prior to this postseason. What would your number have been on a 7-2 start for the Heat? I'm just asking that rhetorically. But I guess my question is this. The only eighth seed to ever win two series, by the way, they won three, was the 1988-1999 New York Knicks. That was a strike-shortened 50-game season, which they got all the way to the NBA Finals before the Spurs beat them. This is a full NBA season. This is a Heat team that was, I won't even say middling. We went through some of their metrics. They were down towards the bottom in so many categories in the NBA this year. They got crushed in the 7-8 game. They came back from the dead in the game for the eighth seed. And here we are. They're 4-1 to win the East. Let's not even get into the 8-1 to win it all. Up 3-1, 4-1, plus 400 to win the East. Is that not a good bet?
Oh, boy. I don't think it is. But, okay. Boy, is it tough to doubt the Heat right now.
It is. Sure.
I mean, they got legends like Caleb Martin and Max Strus and sure. Gabe Vincent out there. And
sure.
They're getting some good minutes out of Haywood Highsmith. They haven't even had to deploy the secret weapon Omer Yurtseven yet. So they have another gear. No, I honestly like this. The fact that the Heat team looks like the team from last year's playoffs that basically ran through the same side of the bracket and gave the Celtics everything they could handle in the Eastern Conference Finals is not something that I saw coming. Jimmy Butler obviously is peaking at the right time. And I think realistically, this is it's going to be a tough Eastern Conference Finals for whoever emerges. I lean lightly Celtics.
Let me just add a detail to that potential, right? The hypothetical Eastern Conference Finals, if the Heat, in fact, close out the Knicks in one of these final three games. Spoelstra versus Mazzulla/Rivers.
I mean, Spoelstra versus anyone right now. Like, the coaching in the second round of the playoffs has been woefully underwhelming, except for Eric Spoelstra. He's the only guy that's really distinguishing himself with the way he's got his team playing disciplined basketball right now. And he doesn't have much to work with in terms of adjustments. He's literally just has to have his guys not make mistakes. Like, that's kind of all that's happening, as far as I can tell you. I think the Heat probably go to the Garden and close this out in Game 5. I like them in Game 5 at a plus money price. I don't think this is realistically going to be extended any longer. The Knicks offense just gets bogged down in just absolute misery once you get out of the first quarter of these games. And, you know, it's a lot to ask Jalen Brunson to be the hero and carry it when he can't get by, Gabe Vincent off of a screen. So it's tough. Tough to really expect that the Knicks are going to find enough form to not only win this game, but to cover 4 points. I think that market's broken, and I think the Heat probably get through 4-1 for the second straight series. So, my price of the Heat getting through 4-1 against the Bucks, 4-1 against the Knicks before we started the playoffs would have been about 500-1. Here we are.
Well, Kelly brought up something via text yesterday, Kelly. I hope you don't mind bringing this up. It doesn't have anything to do with anything other than think about if you were a Cavaliers backer, think about how you feel right now. Like, the Knicks destroyed that team, destroyed them. And now the Knicks are getting destroyed by the transitive property of basketball, apparently, by the Heat. So it's like, it really is. It just, you think about where your brain was before the playoffs started, and then the matchups, how they play out, you're like, wow, we, in many cases, know nothing.
Yeah, even more than just the fact that the Heat are getting it done, it's not like Jimmy Butler's had to put on his cape and just be the guy in Game 6 and Game 7.
Right.
Like, they're running these teams out of the gym. Like, it's crazy. And, particularly their fourth quarter efficiency, it's like that they make all of the correct decisions as a team. And they're basically playing with one brain, and that's sort of the best thing you can say about sort of where they are here. But I think a lot of what, you know, I back off of the Heat to win the East just because the way that they match up specifically against the Celtics with the Celtics length and the two guards on the floor at the same time, you know, they're not going to get the same looks from three. You know, their 3-point shooting in general has been above expectation considering who's getting the shots and the quality of the shots that are taking. And once you add a little bit of length and a little bit better perimeter defense, with some of the, you know, some of the wings that the Celtics have, particularly in their closing five, I really don't see the Heat being able to score at this level in the Eastern Conference Finals if it's against the Celtics. Now, if it's against the Sixers and, you know, Joel Embiid is limping around out there with a torn LCL, then, you know, then yeah, sure. Why not Heat? But I think, you know, you're almost better, you know, betting the Sixers to win the series and parlaying that with the Heat to win the East if you really, you know, think that that's your likely outcome here. So Celtics still for me, I don't think -195 is especially advantageous as far as the price goes. And the Celtics Heat probably, you know, maybe there'll be some competitive moments of that series, but I don't ultimately expect the Celtics to come through and be in the finals.
Real quick, because I want to get your tennis thoughts. Are you taking the Warriors in game five? Are you taking the Lakers? Or are you touching it at all?
Oh, Warriors, lay the points and don't even worry about it.
Okay.
That's going back to LA, I think. And at that point, I'm probably going to be on the under and Lakers in game six.
Italian Open. It's the last big clay tournament before the French. Tennis's Clay Slam later this month. It started on the ladies' side overnight. I did not have any plays. You have one that is going on right now. Maybe there'll be an in-match opportunity here for someone, but what was your play?
Yeah, looking for Alicia Parks to come through against Annette Kontaveit. Annette Kontaveit has had a very, very, very poor 2023 so far. She's losing to players that she has no business losing to, and really only played the one true warm-up on clay in Madrid and lost in round one to Carolyn Muhova 6-2, 6-2. So not exactly sure what she has done to warrant favoritism status over you know, a player with you know, just some unknown ceiling in Alicia Parks. So I have Alicia Parks on the money line. That's already in play, and it's been a decent battle so far. But the further this goes, the more I would favor Parks. So
okay, maybe
she comes through.
Maybe an in-match opportunity if you believe in Drew and believe in Parks in that match. And then the quarters, which hopefully they put back up at shops like DraftKings here tonight again. It's Swiatek is in quarter number one with Sakkari and Rybakina. Q2 is just stacked. Jabeur, yeah. Badosa, Krejcikova, Ostapenko, yeah. Kasatkina, Teichman. Q3 is the Gauff Pegula quarter, but you have a bet or two in Q4, which is where Sabalenka is getting ready for this, Kelly. +100. Sorry, everybody. That's how I want to say it. That's how I'm going to say it.
Also -100.
That's for the new bettors out there. +100. That's right.
+100. Yeah. Amazing.
What did you bet in Q4? Who did you bet?
So I'm taking non-Sabalenka there. I think that's kind of an outrageous price. Yeah, she's been amazing so far this season. Certainly, her title in Madrid was not something that I saw coming. I lost some money on that, so hat tip to her. But I don't think she can back it up in these conditions. It's much slower in Rome. So I took her on in Q4, and I grabbed a couple long shots. I'm looking for the youth and Linda Noskova out of the Czech Republic to make a little bit of noise here. And then I think an old favorite of the numbers game listeners, Sophia Kennan has a decent
back
shot
of the
here.
Day.
You know, I think Kennan can make a little bit of noise here. So those are my two long shots in Q4.
Oh, remember we went on Kennan at the Aussie Open, and then the pandemic hit, and it got completely forgotten. Yeah,
it's Drew, like 50 years ago, right?
It feels like it was 50 years ago. Drew, always great, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, best luck to you guys,
Drew Densig. Everybody, let's talk some hockey on the other side with Jake Hahn next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25. And if you miss one leg, yeah, get it back. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back a $25 bonus bet if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in D.C. That's Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Kelly, your favorite part of that segment with Drew was the ambivalence when I asked the question about the Heat. Are the Heat the best bet on the board? He's like, I don't think so, but...
I feel... He answered it as well as I possibly could. Yeah. We've hit the point where I don't... What can you say about this team? It doesn't make any sense to us who have been betting the NBA all season long. But... yeah, they've got Jimmy Butler, they've got Eric Spoelstra, they've...
doing it without Tyler Hero, it should be noted.
Doing it without Tyler Hero. And it's just some different guy who... Like, we always make a big deal about this in the NFL, right? Where it's like, all these teams passed on this guy. Mm-hmm. A bunch of NBA second-round draft picks and dudes that didn't get drafted at all. Like, it's incredible.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Let's talk some hockey, because that postseason has been awesome as well. We bring in Jay Kahn from the Point, co-host of the Point, the Fantasy Hockey Show, over at SiriusXM. And you can find him on Twitter at Jay Hahn. That's J-H-A-H-N 4. That's the number 4. How you doing, Jake?
Doing great, Gil. And as somebody that doesn't really bet NBA during the regular season like you guys do, and I kind of jump in during the playoffs, I have been riding this Miami Heat wave. Like, to me, I just got airdropped in, and I'm thinking, like, this team might be the greatest team in the world right now. So I don't know where you guys are at on it, but I've been enjoying cashing some Miami Heat tickets.
So that is such a great point.
Yes, it is.
That's,
really
that
is.
Sometimes you can be airdropped in and be better off for it. Right?
Yes.
Because you're not polluted by, you know, a whole year sample size, for God's sakes, which is really what you should base stuff on. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, right? That's what makes this so interesting.
Gil, the Heat have lost twice this postseason.
7-2.
Two times.
Yes.
The Warriors have lost six times already in the playoffs.
Well. The NHL is a perfect example of that right now as well, guys. Like, as someone that bets this, that follows it as close as anyone throughout the course of the regular season, we are getting the craziest playoffs with, you know, a Stanley Cup final that could look like the Panthers and the Kraken at this moment. And nobody could have predicted that, right? It's like you almost need to do the Men in Black brain wipe before the playoffs start to actually know what's going to go on here, because I couldn't have predicted a lot of these teams that are still remaining and that are up in their second round series.
In fact, I started my hockey segment with Andy McNeil yesterday by saying, tell me why I shouldn't bet the Kraken and the Panthers. The Panthers beating the Kraken at 20-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. So let me ask you to do this, and this is, you're going to hate me for this, but let's obviously there's one series that's 3-0 with the Leafs down 3-0 to the Panthers, and everything else is 2-1 after the Knights just rolled the Oilers yesterday. Yeah. I want you to just eliminate those series tallies right now. Of the 8 remaining teams, if I asked you to power rank them, again, not with their current situation, but if I asked you to power rank them, who would you have first and second? Who would you have last?
Okay, well, I'm going to stick with the Oilers. As tough as that is to say after last night's terrible performance on home ice, I am going to stick with them at number one here, Gil, because that's the team I backed to start the playoffs. That's the team I believe, when playing their best, is the best team left out of the 8 teams. It's been a strange series because I think they've played 2 really poor games against Vegas and they've lost both of those games. And they played 1 game on Saturday night that they looked terrific and they looked unbeatable. So it's been a very strange series. It's actually been a strange second round in general with a lot of blowouts so far. The only series that we haven't seen blowouts in is actually the series that's 3-0 for the Florida Panthers over Toronto. All 3 games have been very, very close and 1-goal games in the third period. Florida's found a way to win all 3 and they're up 3-0. But the rest of the series, we have seen a lot of blowouts. Number 8 on the board is tough. I suppose I have to put Toronto there just because they're down 3-0. But you know, Dallas is a team that I want to see more out of. And if Miro Heiskanen is hurt, it sounds like he's going to give it a go tonight, but there's no confirmation on that yet. If he's hurt and misses an extended period of time, I would probably put Dallas there because he is so important for what they do on the ice.
Yeah, you're not allowed to use a 3-0 here for the Leafs' sake. But that, you see, when we were talking about the NBA playoffs and how you can be airdropped in and you might be better off for it, hockey, see, for those of us who are not as into hockey on a day-to-day basis as you are, this, for us, the postseason is just par for the course, right? Like, never goes, you know, to form. So let's talk about the 2 games tonight. The Hurricanes and the Devils. The Devils are doing what they did in the first round. They dropped the first 2 games. And the case of the first round, they came all the way back to win. They did get game three in a resounding fashion. They're minus 150 favorites here to knot up the series against the old Carolina Hurricanes. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I don't love the odds here on the Devils, guys, but I do like to play the angle, and we've seen this with the Canes now for years, is that they're such a great home team in the playoffs, and they do such a good job of defending their home ice, and we saw that in games one and two against the Devils. We saw that in games one and two against the Islanders in the first round as well. They're not as good of a road team, and you can certainly fade this Canes team on the road. Now, I would like something a little closer to a pick'em. I think minus 150 is a little steep for my liking on the Devils. And I think a lot of people in the betting community are following this angle as well. Bet the Canes at home, fade them on the road. So I do like the Devils to even up the series tonight. Maybe you look to jump in live a little bit. I think that the total is interesting here, actually, because we're seeing an over 5.5, basically minus 110 for both sides, depending on where you look. We've seen three overs so far in this series. Now, these two teams can defend very well, but they can also score and they can also push the pace. And the Devils came out of the gates in game three and were attacking and were trying to create offense. So if they employ a similar game plan tonight, I think over 5.5 is certainly worth a look in this game, and maybe we get our fourth straight over in this series tonight.
All right, a little total play there on the over. And then tonight, the second of the two, you just talked about how you're not a believer in the Stars, and they are in Seattle for game four. The Kraken, in their second season, trying to do what the Golden Knights did in their first, which is get to a Stanley Cup Finals. Some work to be done, but if they can get this one tonight, my goodness, they are well on their way. Kraken remain a plus 115 home underdog here.
The Kraken kind of feel like the Miami Heat of the NHL playoffs right now. Not in the fact that they were no good in the regular season or anything like that, but when I pull up an odds board, like they were 1-1 in their series with Dallas. They had taken home ice advantage. They'd won a game in Dallas, and they were still 16-1 to win the Stanley Cup. Kind of similar to the Heat, where it's like they're up 2-1 in the series, but yet they're 25-1 to win the NBA Finals. Nobody's giving them much of a chance. Seattle's kind of been that team too. I think you could still catch them around 10-1, something in that range, to win the Stanley Cup. And they're plus money on home ice in this game. Like, there just isn't a lot of respect out there in the odds market for Seattle. Now, I mentioned Miro Heiskanen. He's a huge key to this game. They're calling him a game time decision. I believe he's going to play. He took a puck to the face during the game, during the last game, game three, and it immediately crumbled for Dallas. As soon as he left the ice, they gave up like four goals and they lost the game. Like, he is that important. He's one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. So if he doesn't go, I don't love Dallas's chances. But like I said, I think he's probably going to put the fishbowl on or something like that and give it a go tonight in this game. How effective can he be? We'll have to wait and see. But I can't pass up Seattle on home ice at plus money the way that they're playing right now. So I'm going to look to them to go up 3-1 tonight against the Dallas Stars.
I'm with you. I haven't made many bets in the postseason, but the Kraken have done very well for me. Tomorrow night, let's get these real quick because we might not have a chance to talk to you beforehand. It is the Maple Leafs and Panthers game four. The Panthers looking to sweep the Leafs, who did get their first series win since 2004 against the Lightning in the last round, but this has not gone well for them. But you said it. That these games have not been blowouts. Do you like the Leafs tonight as a short favorite? Do you want to sprinkle some on them doing the historic, something that has only been done four times previous in NHL history, coming back from a 3-0 deficit?
Yeah, it's interesting. A week ago, we were looking at an odds board and the Toronto Maple Leafs were Stanley Cup favorites, which still didn't really sit well with me, but it was, hey, Boston was out, Colorado was out. Someone had to be the favorite, and it was the Maple Leafs before they started their series against Florida. Now here we are a week later and they're dead last on the odds board, and it's not even really close because they're down 3-0. But like you mentioned, Gil, all three of these games, I mean, you could make a case they could have flipped the other way and we could be talking about the Leafs up 3-0. And Bobrovsky's playing great for the Panthers in between the pipes. The Leafs' top players have kind of gone away. They're generating some chances, but they're not going in for them. You feel like they get one win and try to get themselves back into this series here. Don't love backing them on the road as favorites, though. So I think the price for the Leafs would be a pass for me. And if you think they can come back in the series, plus 700 doesn't really do it for me either, but maybe a sprinkle on the 25-1 to win the cup. Like, if they come back and win this series, that could really bolster them to possibly a cup final. So the 25-1, I think, for the cup would interest me a lot more than the 7-1 to win the series. Yeah, but ultimately, I think Florida finds a way to close this out at some point.
25-1 to win the cup. And then real quick, I think you telegraphed your pass here. You like the Oilers in game four. Is the goaltending the issue?
Well, yes, it's one of the issues. And depth is an issue as well, past the top guys. If McDavid and Draisaitl aren't going, they don't seem to be getting it from anybody. But yes, goaltending is certainly an issue in Edmonton right now as well.
But you're backing them.
Yes, I have to. Okay. I'm going down with the ship here, guys.
Come on. Jake Hahn, everybody. Always great, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, great talking to you guys as always.
Mark Borchardt, baseball next on A Numbers Game at VSiN.